This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I was really surprised to see that the last intertitle of Lynn's films was called More Bones. No, and the title of her presentation was Pieces of Chris Marker, so I think in an act of unconscious montage, I'm sort of going to continue to keep talking about similar issues. And also by means of also completely unconsciously of all possible quotes of Chris Marker, picking the one which I think has been quoted in this conference at least four times in very insightful and fascinating and illuminating and competent presentations, and I feel like this is going to be the low resolution mix-up version of things we have heard already, so I apologize for that. It will be short at least. So, this is not an academic paper, these are just a few speculations departing from the opening lines of Les Statues meurent aussi, which basically everyone in this conference quoted already, made in 1953 by Chris Marker and Alain René, concerning the future of a certain form of cinematic practice. And I will really only depart from this fragment and then radically decontextualize it. I think the contextualization and theorization of this quote has already been done brilliantly in this conference. So again, when people die, they enter history. When statues die, they enter art. Question is, this obviously means that art forms are mortal, they die as well as people, but by defining the death of art forms, by entering art, first of all, and history, does this in reverse also mean that whatever enters history and art slash the museum, that this is dead? Because this would obviously also mean that cinema is dead, because it definitely entered history, it also undoubtedly entered the realm of art and also the museum. We have heard this in Christa's brilliant presentation today. So by definition, cinema must be dead, at least in the form in which we are discussing it here, and was very I was very surprised to learn that it seems to have been dead already in 1953 in your presentation, Dominique, the same year in which Les Statues meurent aussi has been made, when the directors claimed that the short film was dead. So it seems to have been dead for a quite long time. But what's much more interesting for me is that Marker and René equally predict that whatever dies lives on in a different state of matter, on a different level, no? Fourth level, fifth level, tenth level. So how does cinema, or rather more precisely 2D cinema, how does it live on? What is the form of its afterlife, of its current afterlife in the present? And in my view, or the view of some of my colleagues with whom I've been having this discussion around 3D and fractional space, I'd like to mention specifically Clemens von Wedemeyer, we think that there are several versions of this afterlife nowadays. And interestingly, or generally one could say, but that by dying, 2D films acquire a body, or even different bodies. It acquires an extension and a depth. So in the case of much of contemporary commercial cinema, 3D animation cinema, or cinema supported by 3D animation, which is most of commercial cinema nowadays, one could say that cinema becomes a statue again. It's a video layer draped over a 3D wireframe. So cinema is reincarnating by being animated, replacing indexical representation by the craft of modeling. No, I mean, these things are being really sculpted in virtual space. This is a sculptor's job. And what I call objectification, because these objects have a sort of indexical link to reality, yet, you know, the form, the movements are sort of speculative, they are conjectured, they are fictional. So while modeling, as I said, is close to the practice of a sculptor, animation is, of course, close to the act of creating life. Many people have, you know, remarked this already. So by dying, cinema becomes history, it becomes art, as well as acquiring an additional dimension, an extension in depths, which may well be an extension into yet another death. So this is one version of cinema's current form of afterlife. It's this form of 3D, which in a way produces full, rounded 3D bodies, which really have an extension in space. You can walk around them. This, I would say, is the body of financialized cinema. It's a rich 3D cinema that came to occupy what has been called the first cinema in the 70s. But there's a different kind of body, a different kind of afterlife in this space as well, because we only have to look at a film like Les Statues Meurent Aussi to see that they live on as a fragmented body, an extended body, yet a fragmented body that is marked by scars and by bruises. And they exist in a fractional space. I will come back to this term later. It's a term called by Jalal Tufik to design a space which somehow is located between 2 and 3D. It's 2.3D or 2.4D. It's not full 3D. It's sort of inching towards becoming a full body, but it's not a full body. It's a surface that is topologically morphing within space. So interestingly enough, this fragmentation of this body is already foreshadowed both within the form of Les Statues Meurent Aussi and on the level of its narration. Let me show a very brief clip, which has not been shown yet. It's only 2 minutes, and I think it's important to show it in this form.
Gardien de tombeau, sentinelle des morts, chien de garde de l'invisible, ces statues d'ancêtres ne forment pas un cimetière. Nous mettons des pierres sur nos morts pour les empêcher de sortir. Le nègre les conserve près de lui pour les honorer et profiter de leur puissance dans un panier rempli de leurs ossements. C'est des morts que procèdent toute sagesse et toute sécurité. Ils sont les racines du vivant. Et leur visage éternel prend parfois forme de racine. Ses racines fleurissent. La beauté involontaire des animaux et des plantes éclaire un visage de jeune fille. Et nous pouvons bien prendre sa lumière pour un sourire ou même son huile pour une larme et nous émouvoir, à condition de bien savoir que ces images nous ignorent, qu'elles sont d'un autre monde, que nous n'avons rien à faire dans ces conciliabules d'ancêtres qui ne sont pas les nôtres. Nous voulons y voir de la souffrance, de la sérénité, de l'humour, quand nous n'en savons rien. Colonisateurs du monde, nous voulons que tout nous parle, les bêtes, les morts, les statues, et ces statues-là sont muettes. Elles ont des bouches et ne parlent pas, elles ont des yeux et ne nous voient pas. Et ce ne sont pas des idoles, plutôt des jouets sérieux, mais qui ne valent que parce qu'ils représentent. Il y entre moins d'idolâtrique dans nos statues de saints, personne n'adore ces poupées sévères. La statue nègre n'est pas le dieu, elle est la prière. Prière pour la maternité, pour la fécondité des femmes, pour la beauté des enfants. Elle peut être couverte d'ornements qui ont la valeur des enluminures. Elle peut être aussi fruste comme cette boule de terre qui protège la moisson, ou encore lier la terre à la mort par la forme et par la matière. Ce monde est celui de la rigueur. Chaque chose y a sa place. Ces têtes n'ont pas à être effrayantes, elles ont à être justes. Mais regardez bien leurs cicatrices. ce champ magnétique où viennent se prendre toutes les formes du ciel et de la terre. L'objet n'en a pas besoin pour exister et servir. Ce débordement de création qui dépose ses signes comme des coquillages sur la paroi lisse de la statue, c'est un débordement d'imagination, c'est la liberté. Roue du soleil, nœud de la fleur, courbe de l'eau, fourche des arbres s'y déploient l'un après l'autre. Les techniques se mélangent, le bois imite subtilement le tissu prend ses motifs à la terre. On s'aperçoit que cette création n'a pas de limite, que tout communique, et que de ces planètes à ces atomes, ce monde de la rigueur renferme à son tour le monde de la beauté.
So in the first part of this clip, the voiceover claimed that some African people keep the bones of their dead in a basket close to themselves in order to use their wisdom. And I think one could claim that the film itself is a similar basket of bones because it contains over vast stretches the close-up of the statues. Again? Oh, God. So the statues are fragmented by montage, by the framing, into, let's say, body parts of statues. But the film breaks up the statues into closed shots, yet it recomposes them within the body of the movie in time, within a motion created by montage and acceleration, juxtaposition, light also, and rhythm. So on the one hand, the statues are described as being dead. They are killed by their passage into anthropology and classification. On the other, they are being reanimated within the film itself, but they acquire a different body, a body which is recomposed, recombined. It's not the original body, no. It has morphed into a different state of matter, into a different state of animation, and the basket which stores the bones of the statues, so to speak, is in this example the flow of 2D cinema. It keeps the wisdom of the statues close, even though their bodies are dispersed and fragmented cinematically. It is a form of afterlife of the statues which transition into another state of matter. So whatever, everything I said also applies now to Les Statues as a film. No, because how do we, or at least I, how is it being mediated today? How does it look like? How does it, let's say, communicate with me? And usually it communicates in this form. This is a screen grab, obviously, from YouTube, where you have all these different clips and files and fragments of the film, because the film is rarely, it's usually fragmented down into clips to comply to file limit sizes and so on. So it is mainly distributed now in fragments as a stream, as a file, or as a torrent in different resolutions, different codecs on YouTube, Vimeo, and so on and so on. So just as it broke up, fragmented and reanimated the African statues within montage, it is now itself being broken up and recollected within the baskets and containers of a digital world of floating images, a fleeting world of files which are fragmented and parcelized. So one could claim that the baskets in which we collect the bones and fragments of the cinematic body of Les Statues Morosi are our laptops, basically. And yesterday there was a beautiful shot, no, in Agnès Varda's film, where she showed basically Chris Marker's mobile phone, which contained a library, no, of works of world literature. It seemed like the mobile phone had become its own basket of bones, so to speak, of world literature. Bringing these works into another state of matter, onto a different level, reanimating them in different form. And I think our laptops are these baskets of bones today, and we only have to think back of, you know, how different clips from the work Les Statues were played from different laptops throughout the conference. It seems as if these different bones, no, and body parts of the film were sort of recombined in a sort of unconscious network to not become whole again, to sort of keep displaying their fragmentation. But the beautiful thing is that it is a shared act, no? The film is now dispersed into a network of laptops, of people who are caring for these fragments, who are trying to, you know, replicate them, multiply them, share them, and basically recombine the fragments of the film into something else, into something different. I was reminded, no, of the issue of mass graves you brought up in your clip, because with my colleague Rabia Mouret, we have been calculating how many different people you could recombine from 100 dead people in a mass grave. So it's 1 million. You can recreate, by using all possible combinations between bones, you can recreate 1 million dead people from the fragments of 100 living ones. And I think this is definitely also the case on the level of cinema, that, you know, the person that, or the object that is being recombined from all these fragments is multiple, and it has morphed into a different state of matter. I think that this is another screen grab, you know, from a file sharing site, another, let's say, contemporary form of existence of this film. You see the different sites in which this film is being, from which this film is being uploaded and shared and reanimated. And I think that this act of trying to share and multiply and also fragment and degrade, one also has to say this, no? This film resembles another description which Marker gives in the voiceover of Les Statues Mortes aussi, in the voiceover, because this object, this dispersed data object, it's not a representation but a prayer. And if I would like to phrase this in a more neutral way, it's a act of reverence which people are undertaking in common. And I think it is an act of reverence towards this film to share it across this data space. This act is composed of multiple gestures, or on the other way also gestures of multiplication, which reanimate a film which has been close to invisible for many decades, because its infrastructure, meaning municipal cinemas and cinemas which owned 16mm film projectors, were erased by another wave of neoliberal transition and neocolonialism, which not only changed the face of the world in the past decades, but also the world of images, the world of media, the world of cinema, by commercialization and privatization. So these gestures, the gestures of the people who sort of recombine or create a new body, let's put it like this, of the statue online, these gestures are gestures of appreciation, of taking care, of multiplying, degrading, putting into circulation. They are both acts of thievery and gift, acts of conservation as well as degradation. And I think, you know, to again take up another quote from the brief clip I have been showing you, where the voiceover is talking about the scars of the statues. And he says, the voiceover says, that the scars of the statues are a magnetic field where the forces of heaven and earth are sort of entangled. So the scars express the forces of heaven and earth. What does it mean to read the scars and the glitches and the bruises, the cuts and omissions of these file data objects? How can we read their scars? What sort of magnetic field is this where the forces of heaven and earth get caught? And the scars of cinema, the scars of 2D cinema, are a field of political forces, of course, of destruction as well as creation. They are a magnetic prism of powers and flows through which a dead cinema transitions into another state of matter. And this is, in this case, of course, a digital data space, a fractional data space. And the forces which are being reflected in the scars, in the cuts, in the wounds, in the amputations, in the interruptions of transmissions, reflect the death of 2D cinema by commercialization, by descent into spectacle and craft, just as Nolis Tatu claimed about the African statues, just as they reflect their temporary reanimation within another field of forces, in this data field in which data are joined, they are translated, they are degraded, they are revered, no? They are also reviled, they are interrupted, they are erased. So this creation, again, to quote another part from this very, very, very short section, this creation, the way that these forms of art are morphing into different states of matter, it has no limits. Everything communicates from the planet to its atoms, from statues to 2D images, to data flows, and back to statues again. Creation is a permanent transition from one state of matter into another. Let me very briefly show you a film that my colleague Clemens von Wiedemeyer is currently working on. It's not a film, it's actually a multi-part installation, but the part I'm talking about is a 3D video. It's a 3D animation, and it deals with a certain workshop within Cinecittà, which is the Italian traditional film studios, which seems to be in a state of disrepair and decay right now. And in this studio, there is a workshop by a family which of sculptors, and they have been producing statues as props for fiction films for decades. And this this workshop is in a state of disrepair now, and nobody is really using it anymore. And this is how the statues, which were used as props, no, in all these fiction films, look now. They are in storage, so to speak. And this is another picture which shows this storage. And it seems to me that this is the body of the old cinema, the 2D cinema, which is taken apart, which is in storage, which is waiting for someone to recombine it, to reanimate it by means of animation, by means of the patient manual labor of modeling. And in fact, the project consists, or the 3D animation will consist of an invisible person walking through this workshop, trying on the different body parts of the fractured statues to acquire a new body, no, which is made of the debris of the old statues, to find a new body for cinema. And this is, of course, a 3D animation, so you can see it from every side, and it will be projected in a sort of round form so that the projection itself will have an extension and a depth, even though, and this is interesting, and this is also why it belongs, in my view, to fractional space. We're still in fractional space. It consists of surfaces which are being bent. No, there's no full 3D bodies. It's 2D surfaces being slightly bent to allude to a full 3D representation. So this is a cinema which is made of debris, it's made of ruins, it's made of body parts, maybe even of bones. It acquires a body by dying. It acquires a dimension of depth by death. And it may be expressing something else, namely the transition as such, the transition from one or from two-dimensionality into three-dimensionality, but also the transition from one political paradigm into another. And I'm coming back to this notion of fractional space, which is this space that hovers between 2 and 3D, because fractional space is this transitional space that allows people and objects to enter and to exit different dimensions. And I have the feeling that every time they really manage to change this dimension, they have to die and to be reborn again in the other dimension. And of course, no, I mean, for me, from this angle, from this perspective, this environment, which has come up also in almost every presentation until now, is this kind of fractional space, precisely because it mostly consists of 2D planes, which are assembled to create 3D spaces. So the really modeled objects are really a few. Most of the structures there are 2D planes, which are assembled to create 3D spaces, meaning you still have this transition from 2D towards 3D, and only a few objects are full 3D in there. And then, again, I mean, it's kind of very strange, but I will now show again something which has come up in a presentation by Gertrud Koch today, which is the painting The Ambassadors by Hans Holbein the Younger, because I think that already in at the outset of modernity, the question of fractional space appears, of a space consisting of 2D planes which create a 3D space, or at least a visual 3D space. And interestingly enough, the object which creates this transition is a bone again. No, it's a skull. One could say that this is another, a different basket of bones in another transitional space. And I think that the historical and political and economical context of this picture also speaks of a massive transition taking place there on all levels, on the level of visual paradigms, of introducing capitalism worldwide by means of colonialism and so on and so on. You see all these instruments of representation, computation, calculation to create new means of representation for this period, and to the thing that really almost literally, no, and very, very crudely alludes to this transition, this almost this rebirth after a violent death, almost in a different dimension, is the skull, which today really looks like a bad Photoshop job, no? what are you talking about, no? But so yeah, 5 minutes. Okay, I'm almost at the end. So yes, this painting is a basket of bones as well. It speaks of a period of transition, and the initial film, Les Statues Morosies, speaks of a period of transition, the transition of decolonization. And I think we are yet in another period of transition into yet another stage of intensified neoliberalism, and also of media paradigms changing quite violently again. And to come back for a last time to a quote from the voiceover of Les Statues Morosies: these times of transition give rise to an art of transition, a provisional art, an art of transition, an art of struggle between a glory lost and another one to conquer. And I think that's important to keep in mind, that this art of transition today expresses itself as the transition from film to file, from file to object, from object to an object event, from network to a 4D space, from third cinema to fourth cinema to fifth cinema, from Second Life to animation. And if this is to be any art, it has to flow with this creation, which is conjured up in the voiceover, which has no limits, in which everything communicates from the planet to its atoms, from cinema to statues, through and beyond networks, on and offline, by means of a permanent transition from one state of matter into another, whether cinema or plastic art, whether 2 or 3 or 4D, whether bone or body, death or life, it does not matter, as long as this art is an art of combat, of transition, of conflict and of contestation. Thank you.